top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 313. Our second foray into the small screen on the podcast, the first being You, this one, The Stranger, a 8-part, so far anyway, British thriller that's currently on Netflix. And I'm unapologetically an Anglophile and a big fan of all things British, whether it's the Premier League, Go Spurs, or whether it's a British telly, and that includes a couple series that are the only ones I've ever rewatched, and that includes the superlative and superior, I believe, in every respect, Ricky Gervais' incarnation of The Office, but also a really highly underrated and highly recommended mockumentary that's called People Just Do Nothing, which is a hilarious look at a bunch of dimbulbs who run a pirate radio station and think they're the cat's meow with their terrible jungle music that they put out, and they have a makeshift antenna. It's a great premise. Like, if you're a fan of the Christopher Guest style humor and awkwardness and weirdness, but also has a little bit of a, this is a bit of a stretch, but a little bit of a Trailer Park Boys vibe, because you're laughing at the people and their circumstance and their misery, but also they're such lovable characters, in particular Chabuddy G, who's just you'll have to watch the show and just trust me on this one. So People Just Do Nothing. But my love of British television extends beyond that to include, obviously, Fawlty Towers and Monty Python, but also the Great British Baking Show and silly stuff like that, like the reality shows I'm also quite fond of. So it should come as perhaps no surprise that I would tackle The Stranger. Now, this is a bit of a weird one because it has a very, very like snappy, quick pace and tons of plot twists, and I can't elaborate it on it too greatly, but the premise is, I mean, as just a whiz-bang one, and it involves a mysterious figure, as the title, you know, the titular figure, who is a mysterious woman in a ball cap and athletic apparel who goes around and engages with people in public and has, you could call it a damning personal and secretive information about the people that she interrogates. And so the whole plot of this show is driven by this woman, and how the different characters connect is that her targets all have something to hide, and they are all, I guess, presented with some very, very personally embarrassing, often personally embarrassing information, and they're requested to pay £10,000 to this figure, or else this information will be publicly disclosed. And the main characters are the Prices, so this upper-class family in, I believe, a suburb of Manchester. The father, Adam, is a high-profile partner in a law firm, and his wife, Corinne, is a very popular teacher at a local, what looks to be private school. Apologies if I get them backwards. I can't remember. There's a not a state-funded school. I think one of the ones that more posh people go to. Forgive me if I'm getting that wrong, but for American audiences, it would be in Canadian, it would be like a private school, and you wear uniforms and you surround yourself with upper crust types. So that's the kind of school. She's highly regarded there. And her engagement with this mysterious ball cap wearing figure is what drives the thrust of most of the narrative. Now, the Price family has a secret, like everyone in this suburban enclave does. And the Price family's secret is that Corinne Price has been keeping a serious secret from her husband, most notably that she faked her pregnancy. And this material is presented to Adam when his sons are at soccer practice, and the mysterious figure just appears onto the bleachers and hands him an envelope and basically discloses this marital fact, and much to his, obviously, amazement that she could be privy to this kind of information. And this is what sets the ball in motion. And boy, that's just one aspect of it. The intro to the show highlights a big bush party, a big forest party that I think crosses cultures in terms of prevalence. Growing up, I remember these things where you'd have a bonfire out somewhere and people would bring booze and various pharmaceutical enhancements, shall we call them, and people would just get their rocks off, get their jollies far away from the prying eyes of, well, hopefully far enough away from the prying eyes of the constabulary and the local parental authorities. So there's a party that some of these kids all attend, and one member among their ranks is found naked and nearly dead in the middle of a forest. Now, that's not the only thing found dead, because there's also an alpaca, not a llama, as they comedically point out on various occasions. An alpaca's head is found and the animal is decapitated, and they treat this like a human crime scene and draw a line around it. And this suburban / rural enclave is in the midst of a mysterious, I guess, attack, you would call it, potentially, or drug overdose, and also the murder, if you want to call it that, of a farm animal. And given how many people were severely under the influence, whether it be PCP, E, weed, vodka, hash, you name it, there's a number of suspects between the ages of, I guess, 14 and 17 who could have perpetrated this heinous backyard, barnyard act on this poor, helpless, defenseless creature. So the narrative extends beyond this to include other community members, one of whom runs the local bakery. It's a very, again, a posh coffee shop and bakery. Her daughter is in uni and has problems paying for her tuition and sundry expenses in post-secondary. So she has taken to supplementing her lifestyle, shall we call it, as a date, in heavily in quotation marks here, to older gentlemen who pay her in exchange for various services. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. Now, her mother is blackmailed by the same mysterious... Well, it turns out it's a duo, so there's a backup to the mysteriously hatted woman who goes around with these secrets, and the bake shop owner is presented with this rather... difficult to swallow, no pun intended, very, very dark information about her daughter. She confronts her, and before too long, the proprietor of the coffee shop ends up dead. Dum-bum-bum. So you have all these moving pieces and all these parts and all these different goings-on in this town, and it's you have to say it's expertly put together in a way where you really have no clue what happens next, and you really don't even care, to the extent that there possibly could be red herrings and things that seemingly don't necessarily fit, because you're just so on board with the electric and electrifying and harried pace of the proceedings. It's really quite impressive. Now, Siobhan Finneran plays Detective Sergeant Joanna Griffin, and she is not only a friend of the coffee shop proprietor, but a detective sergeant in the local police precinct, and she is the one who's primarily heading up the investigation as to, A, how this young gentleman ended up naked and half-dead in the woods, and also how this creature, the alpaca, ended up meeting its maker. And probably North American audiences wouldn't know her necessarily, but she had a role in, I guess, the costume drama Downton Abbey, which I confess to not having seen despite my proclivity for all things Anglo. But she's just a terrific actress and really keeps things rolling here, as well as the excellent dynamic between her and her partner on the force, and that would be Kadeef Kirwan as Wesley Ross, who assists in the investigation. Now, there's just so many things happening at the time, and the series also really acquits itself nicely by having an insider component to this, and someone who's trying to hamper the investigation, and that's the father of one of the children at the party, and who has a vested interest in keeping the investigation considerably sidetracked, I should say, without issuing any spoilers. Now, again, this is an 8-part series, and from what I can tell, although I think I've read somewhere that there might be a second season, but again, with British shows, they tend to have what's quite a welcome tendency to not belabor things and beat things to death with excessive episodes, and they know when to end when it's time to end. And I'm looking at you, Fawlty Towers, and obviously The Office, where they both use that splendidly, and they knew when to basically encapsulate perfection by retiring the shows from the air when they should have. Again, the cast of characters here is really terrific. So between the cake shop owner and the couple with marital strife, they really lead the way here, and it's really terrific. And it should be said too that the Price family has secrets that go beyond Corinne and her baby faking and her subterfuge there, because it turns out Adam, the husband, is both a philanderer, but also is the legal representation for a rather shady figure who is involved in a real estate dispute for a housing development that's in the works that he's trying to fight. And that becomes also a major plot point as you go forward in the show. It's really, really, really quite a departure from what I normally expect. I mean, it's not tied to any one place that I can see, because although the filming locations are around Manchester, you don't have that Oasis Gallagher Brothers type of accent, and you don't have what you come to expect from the likes of Coronation Street and that kind of thing, with a bunch of working class people guzzling pints. It really, I guess it shows another side of Manchester, or I'm not familiar enough with the region, as I've only visited London. I don't know anywhere else in the UK, but this is a side of that city that you don't often see depicted. And it almost has a David Lynchian feel, where you have the goings on in rich suburbia, and maybe you could throw in the likes of John Waters and that. So behind the facades of the well manicured lawns and the impeccably dressed denizens and their fancy Volvos and Subarus and whatnot lies deep, dark, sinister secrets. And this one is just off the charts. It should also be said that children play a hugely important role in The Stranger, and both the kids of the Prices, who are beset with grief when their mother goes missing, the pregnancy faking mother. And again, this sounds a lot like a Melrose Place or one of these dodgy daily soap operas, but it's treated with so much seriousness, and the incredulity with which Adam Price faces the allegations and the eventual admission that his wife faked her pregnancy is really well handled. Like, everyone is on board with what could be, in less adept hands, something that's a little bit cheesy. But again, back to the kids. The Price kids are fantastic. They're footballers. But there's way more to them than that. They are beset with grief over their mother's when their mother goes missing, and they actually interrogate their dad about the reasons potentially behind how their mother has upped and left, leaving all but a ambiguous text message and not being in touch with either of them. And they're the ones who actually bring up the infidelity on her part, not acknowledging that it's the dad's infidelity that potentially drove Corinne to fake her pregnancy. So the kids are heavily involved, not to mention their dynamism and their interplay. That's regarding all of the kids that were at this party, and some of whom were maybe complicit in the what is potentially an attempted murder of one of their colleagues, but also there's one of the many subplots is a potential sex crime in terms of texting and sexting images of underage kids that one of the children at this local school may have been involved with, not to mention a stalking subplot of one of the teachers. And so this stuff is just so packed with subplots and so much going on, so much happening on all fronts. It's a police procedural writ large, combined with almost like a just expansive, really ambitious soap opera, combined with almost Stranger Things type dynamic with kids heavily involved in driving the proceedings. And it's just, I can't think of anything like it. So this was based on a novel of the same name by Harlan Coben, who I must confess I'd not heard of, but and so he's a he's actually an American New Jersey born author, and so this was an adaptation of his work, and it just beggars belief how he was able to, I mean, I've not read it again, but how he is able to keep all these characters straight and to keep all of these moving parts so intricately connected with not so much a concern, at least on my part, for any potential red herrings or things that don't make sense and whatnot. So this one was released in January of 2020 and I think has picked up a bunch of steam. So the conceit of having people descend on this town who know all of its secrets is interesting, and I think I could have been on board with that had they not explored the full extent and motivation of these figures. It could have just been left as an existential plot point, really, and not been without a backstory, and it would have fared quite nicely. Now, I must confess, I haven't reached the end of the season yet, so my star rating and what I've learned and all that will be colored by the fact that I'm 3/4 in, but unless the thing really goes off a cliff toward the end, I'm safe from my vantage point here to wholeheartedly recommend it. So in later episodes, it should be said that the duo, the stranger and her accomplice, that are promulgating these different extortion and blackmailing plots, their backstory does come into effect through some snooping done on the part of this retired cop, who is the client of Adam Price, who himself is just a terrifically drawn out character, as he's willing to chain himself to his dilapidated row house in order that it not be demolished. And it's pretty funny. Like, I'm not sure where this is located. It might be a one of these sort of sad-looking post-war development row houses, but that's what it looks like to me. But it bears a slight resemblance to some of the urban blight that you see in some of the row houses of Baltimore, and that what you would see in The Wire. So this fellow is a retired cop, and he's fighting the man. He's really fighting. They say you can't fight City Hall, but this guy's using every legal means at his disposal to prevent the demolition and subsequent condo development of his neighborhood. And he is not only a client of Adam Price, but he also does a little bit of ad hoc private investigator work for Mr. Price. So that is a kind of a funny dynamic, because he's a retired police officer who's a little bit of a wingnut, and his character develops considerably over the course of the series. And he is involved with early on investigations of this fake pregnancy scheme. So again, not to beat a dead horse or an alpaca in this case, but there are similarities in terms of belief beggaring plot point twists that bear some resemblance to the kind of daily soaps that that are so popular both on these shores and as well as the UK, whether it's Coronation Street or Days of Our Lives or any of these crappy shows or Young and the Restless or any of that. So fair point that it does play upon these things. But again, it's just so charming and offbeat, and the characters are all so well drawn out. Even, it should be said, the stranger herself. And it's a very diverse cast of people, and true to British telly form, running the gamut of people who... you know, with a face like a chewed boot, as a friend of mine likes to say. So people who are maybe south of conventionally attractive, not to mention people who are more conventionally so, as in keeping with the British television tradition, and standing in stark contrast often to the kind of thing you see on American telly. Now, in terms of what I learned, well, there's a terrific neighbor. So the Price's neighbor is this sort of boorish, golf shirt wearing imbecile who Adam confides in, and he's great because he's a fellow football club parent whose boys are on the local team, and he's a bit of a douchebag. He's his name's Doug Tripp, but he's kind of lovable in a bombastic asshole kind of way, with upturned collar and these pink shirts, and he's a very funny character who's enlisted by Adam to be the designated driver and to go around on his misadventures, as it turns out, because Adam is both the one investigating the stranger as well as a victim of the stranger's advances. So it's Adam Price around whom the narrative largely revolves, and that's Richard Armitage. It's a really just amazing actor who looks quite a bit like Hugh Jackman, I guess it could be said. And he probably would be best known for his role as the dwarf prince Thorin from the Peter Jackson adaptation of The Hobbit. So he's been in a bunch of things, but he's really really terrific and just drives everything forward. And he's utterly believable in this role as a devoted A-type lawyer guy, but who has a definite heart and who loves his family, and so terrific on that front. I would have to say, in terms of a star rating, I mentioned at the very outset of this podcast that Jeff and I guess covered You, which was our first delving into a TV series, and the parallels are such that I guess they're both really engaging and really, really fly by, at least the first season. I do confess giving up on You when it decamped from New York to Los Angeles and fell into the trap of embodying all these kinds of La La Land stereotypes and not really being able to, I guess, adequately tap into that sense of place and adroitly like it did with The Big Apple. So but it does have a central character around whom everything evolves and whose lens you mostly see things, although I guess you could throw the detective constable from The Stranger is like that as well. But the things just fly by at a whiz-bang pace. I hasten to call this a somewhat trashy entertainment, but because it's elevated trash, it is so well executed and so well acted that it's... occasional devolving into trashy soap opera tropes can be eminently and easily forgiven. I'm going to give this one a 4 star out of 5. Highly recommend it. Really hoping they don't sully what they developed here with follow-up seasons, and then in keeping with the British tradition, they just keep it one and done and not get into the point where it's just far beyond its expiry date. So... The Stranger, existential elements, you could might even confuse it with the famous novel of the same name by Camus, but we won't get into that now. But I really hope you guys check it out, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming, that is action films and horror films, once we return next Friday. So hope everyone is enjoying their fall season, and definitely check out The Stranger. You'll be glad you did, and we shall talk to you soon. Take care.